Hi everyone. My name is Stephanie L, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Southern California. And I've never been to this meeting before, so I just want to say how grateful I am to Lisa for asking me to join today and talk a little bit about sponsorship. And I just want to start by just because I think it's important to go through the numbers. So I've been in OA, oh gosh, for just about 20 years. And I am 4 years and 7 months almost to the day out of an awful relapse. So if you do the math, I've been around for a long time and I've got relapse in my story, and I always like to share that because I think there are a lot of people who have similar stories, and I think there are a lot of people in our rooms who are suffering and don't always come forward and talk about how they're suffering. And no matter where I have been in my recovery in this program, I never leave. So from the day I walked in, I have not left. I'm a 100-pounder. I've gained and lost 100 pounds multiple times in my life and multiple times in the rooms of OA. Actually, twice within the rooms of OA, I've gained 100 pounds and lost 100 pounds. And yeah, so I just wanted to throw that out there. And just, I guess where I really want to start is I want to start by reading the first paragraph on page 89, because what a beautiful introduction to working with others. It says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics, or for us, immunity from compulsive overeating as intensive work with other compulsive overeaters. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. And I want to start with that because, basically what I get from this is if I work these 12 steps outlined in the big book, I am basically told that I will get to a place of immunity. Now, maybe recovered, but I'm not cured. So one day at a time, if I follow the directions in this book, I get to stay a recovered woman. I get to stay free from this merciless obsession that wants me alone by myself, binging my brains out, eating against my will, and not being able to stop. Because that is my normal state without these steps that bring me to a power greater than myself, right? Because I am absolutely powerless. But it tells me here that I can have immunity, if I intensively work with other compulsive overeaters. But step 12 says, so, and here's the other caveat, because if it was that easy, just come in and be of service and, woohoo, everything's great. But step 12 gives me more instruction. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, so I have to have a spiritual awakening. So I can't, my understanding of this and the directions in the book is I can't work with others unless I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these 12 steps. Right? And that's how my sponsor worked with me. She had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these 12 steps. And then she took me through these steps. Precisely how she went through these steps, which is outlined in this book, right? And so once I get to step 12 and I've had this spiritual awakening, I can carry this message to other compulsive overeaters. And as a result of that, I get to live one day at a time, free of the obsession, this merciless obsession. And I can tell you as a relapse survivor, prior to my last relapse, I stopped doing this work. Life got too big and I didn't have time to, if a sponsee relapsed, I was like, okay, bye, I'm here. But part of me was like, okay, more time for X, Y, and Z. Or if no one, I'm putting my name out there and no one's, asking me to sponsor them, that's okay. That's God's will. It'll come, it'll happen. Well, 3 to 4 months later, I'm in the food again because I'm not following this direction. And I want to also go to Bill's story, which talks about the same thing. On the bottom of page 14, it says, "For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others." So, what they're telling me here, my understanding of this is, the way for me to enlarge my spiritual life and my connection with my higher power, who I call God, is through work and self-sacrifice for others. And my sponsor told me early on, she said, self-sacrifice doesn't mean that it's convenient, right? Or that it's always easy. Self-sacrifice means that maybe you're not going to watch Netflix tonight because you're working with a sponsee, or maybe you're gonna get up at 5 and a half hour earlier to work with a sponsee before you go to work, right? But it tells me, it's like in Bill's story, it's so funny, it's the beginning of the book, page 14 and 15. It's like, hey, if you're not gonna sponsor and you're not gonna be of service and self-sacrifice for others, this may not work. Because then it says he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. Right. And then Bill talks about when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic, or for me, another compulsive overeater would save the day. And that has been my experience. So I just want to start there because for me, it was very easy to rest on my laurels and feeling good, looking good, life is good, all is good. Well, I really do have a daily reprieve contingent on this connection with God. And so, working with others has been, my saving grace because it keeps me connected to God. So I want to start with that. I'm a little disjointed. It's been a very, very busy day. And what's really interesting to me is an OA friend who lives in New York, who is in town. I live in California, and I went and had coffee with her earlier today. And guess what we were talking about? We were talking about our different experiences working with others and how critical and vital and crucial this is to, this immunity that it talks about. The other thing I want to say is, in working with others, it also tells me on page 90, when you discover a prospect, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop, says drinking, for me, compulsive eating, don't waste time trying to persuade him. So when I get a phone call and someone is looking for a sponsor, I kind of do the Starbucks convo, right? Like if we were lot together, we'd meet at Starbucks after the meeting, have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and we'd get to know each other a little bit. So I always start with that. I ask about their story, how long they've been in OA. I tell them a little bit about my story, and I'm really listening to see where this person is because, and I know this from my own experience too, in those 2 years of relapse, I was not willing to go to any length. There was still a part of me that thought I could control this disease, that maybe, and I kept running from program to program within OA, because there's lots of factions of OA, meeting to meeting, sponsor to sponsor, food plan to food plan. But I was still trying to control it and find the answer myself, right? It wasn't till I got to a place of hopelessness until I was out of answers that I was willing to go to any lengths and take the direction of someone who found this spiritual solution, right? I wasn't willing to do the work. I'd say, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'll do whatever you tell me. And then the next day I'm like, oh God, do I really have to do this? I'm not gonna, And then I'm in the food again. And then I'd go and I'd be too scared to call that person. So I'd call another person and ask them to sponsor. I'll do anything you say, I'm desperate, I'm willing, I'm whatever. Running from thing to thing to thing. So when I talk to a prospective sponsee, I'm really trying to understand their story. Where are they at? Are, and when people tell me that they're at the end of their rope and they're hopeless and they're dying in this disease, I'm always like, that's a great place to be. I know it's painful. I know it hurts. And I'm so sorry for your pain. However, that's a great place to start to do this work, to be willing to go to any lengths. Because the book tells us the person has to be willing. On page 58, second paragraph, it says, if you have decided you want what we have, right, which is a spiritual awakening as a result of working these 12 steps, a connection to power that can stand between me and the disease, that can fight this disease for me because I can't. But if you're willing, if you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then, right, it says then, and I have written in my book, only then you are ready to take certain steps, which is to work these 12 steps. So the first conversation, I'm really trying to get to know them better, trying to understand, where they're at. And, if that person is, so I don't agree to sponsor in the first conversation. We have our Starbucks, a conversation on the phone. If they're interested in continuing to talk, I give them what I call a pre-assignment. I ask them to read the doctor's opinion, and then I give them a couple different podcasts, one of them from my sponsor and one of them from another spiritual, another woman in this program that, So I give out a couple podcasts and I said, finish it in 48 hours, call me, and we'll go through your top takeaways. But I also ask them, when you're reading the doctor's opinion, this isn't a intellectual exercise. Like the doctor said, read it and where do you see yourself? What do you relate to in terms of either your relapse or, your experience with compulsive overeating? So when they're done, they reach out and I take them through the doctor's opinion. And then I walk through what my expectations are to work with them. And I do have some expectations. I weigh and measure my food. I get a amazing amount of relief by putting things on a scale before I put them in my mouth. I have a food plan from a nutritionist. I don't decide what my food plan looks like. I leave it up to a professional, and then I follow that food plan. And I ask sponsees to get a food plan from a nutritionist. Now, if they can't afford a nutritionist, I ask them to pick one from the OA. I don't even know if it's still called Dignity of Choice, but I'm really, if my brain is broken around the food, how can I tell someone what to eat? And I had years in this program where people told me what to eat. I have a nutritionist with a food plan specific to me, designed for me, my age, my weight, doesn't include any of my red foods. I don't do red, yellow, and green. It's either I can have it or I can't. And I often will help if the sponsee doesn't already know what her red foods are, we'll figure those out together, right? And so I go through my list, which are, talking to three recovered people a day to hear the message, to see that there's hope. I ask them to go to a specific number of meetings a week. And I got to tell you that, like, totally helped me in the beginning, and it still helps me today to go to meetings and to hear people's experience, strength, and hope. Because it gave me hope, because I didn't have any hope coming out of that relapse, but I also didn't want to die, right? But I'd say, like, the number one most important thing that was asked of me that I ask sponsees to do is to spend 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes every morning in prayer and meditation. Their choice of what that looks like. But here's the deal. If I need this power to stand between me and the disease, then I need to build a relationship with this power. And that was the game changer for me this time around. I used to be, I was that person, oh, this big book is saving my life. And oh, these steps are saving my life. But here's what I know today. This big book outlines the 12 steps that brings me to power that is saving my life one day at a time. And that for me is an important distinction because I could quote the big book while shoving food in my mouth. So, and I also, stress this with sponsees. It's not about information, right? I have to have the right information. So I need to have the right information out of the book, but it's about transformation. And it is possible, right? I don't want to be in these rooms and abstinent, but obsessed with food and white knuckling it, because that's not what the big book promises. And the way I look at this 30 minutes of time in the morning and praying throughout the day, but really starting the day with God. I need God, take care of, go to the bathroom, put the timer on, sit in a spiritual area, and sit with God. And begin developing that relationship. And my understanding too of being a sponsor is, and my sponsor told me this early on also, my job as a sponsor is to just take that sponsee's hand and put their hand in their higher power's hand. I can't make them stop eating compulsively. I can't make them be willing to go to any lengths, but what I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and I can take them through the precise instructions in the big book. And then it's up to them, and it's between them and God. If they can't stop eating, I try to help them figure it out. Hey, let's really look at your food. Is there any, we start there, right? That the allergy, physical allergy isn't being kicked off. But then also, are you doing all the things that we talked about? Because oftentimes there's some dishonesty there, and my sponsor is very clear, right? Dishonesty is like wearing a big sign across your chest that says, keep out God. So I can't afford anything that blocks me from power. And oftentimes I find when someone's struggling, it's because they're not being honest. Either they're not weighing and measuring, they're changing. What they're having without reaching out to me. I like to do the hospitalization period, so during the time of working the steps, there's specific things we do and don't do, like not eating out, not going on vacations if it can be helped, because it's like, gotta, I had to protect this fledgling abstinence until I could get that power to do it for me. So, I go through kind of what my expectations are, and I ask them to pray about it, and I pray about it. I ask them to take this to God. And is that time? It's flashing. Oh, Chanel, do am I have 2 minutes?
You're a little less than 2 minutes.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Okay. I ask them to pray about it, take it to their higher power. I pray about it, and let's come back together. And let's discuss it, right? What I don't read word for word out of the book with sponsees. I do give out assignments and then writing assignments, and we do podcasts. But like my sponsor told me early on, this isn't about getting a degree in big book. We need to get you to the spiritual awakening. And so it typically takes between 8 to 12 weeks to get through the steps. And here's what I want to end with, right? This is the bright spot of my life. There are days that are really hard. I'm sad, I'm depressed. I mean, life happens. Just because, I'm recovered today and I have a few days between me and my last binge, it doesn't mean that life is all rainbows and unicorns, right? Character defects pop up, things happen, but this crazy thing happens too. I'm having a bad day. I'm tired. Maybe I got something with my husband, one of my kids, whatever, health issues. But then I get on the phone with a sponsee and we do some work together. And I hang up and I'm lifted up. I mean, it's like magic, absolute magic. And I know if I continue to do this, I never have to pick up again. So I think it's quite beautiful to be able to help like this and to live a life that's very different. than it was. And I'm grateful for that. And so thank you for letting me share.